gets her without spot or wrinkle. We talked about that frontwards and backwards. What it means is the church has to submit to that process, but God will not stop working in his people until the world sees the glory of God in people. All right? This is that's his intent. That you cannot say no Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female, or people from every nation. You can't say that when you say, I cannot relate to a lot of the people in here. You can't say that. Because if there's Christ growing in you, that Christ is pulling you together. So if you're growing, and you're not growing into your place in a healthy church, which includes pulling other people in, you're not growing under the head. That's what the head does. Sorry, from another book, you're a cancer cell. That's a cell that's growing off on its own where it's not supposed to be. You're cancer. So this isn't saying that means all our pastors are always right, John David's right. That's not saying that. It's saying that John David is part of the structure. But if you're a believer, you're part of the structure of a church too. We're building healthy churches, not just personal maturity. So therefore, we need to focus on the roots, not the fruit, not the fruit, not the fruit, not the fruit. I say it to get under your skin. Why? Because you're going, well, wait, we have to have fruit. In John 15, it says that if you abide in me, that you will produce fruit. Okay, but that fruit comes from abiding in him. If you don't look at the source, you're just going to look at the results and say, how come they have it and I don't, I do and they don't? The source is what produces the right fruit. So we're saying here, if we do nothing else together, we have been called to worship God together. You cannot be saved and worship off by yourself when there's people around that also God has called. That's what you should. Even if they're, you're out in Idaho somewhere and there's not many churches around and it's all a mess, something should draw you towards those that are calling on God. Where did I come close with that? That hardware warehouse where I tell you my little stories from working. I think I was the only born-again Christian in there, a loose Catholic maybe. And then there was a Jehovah's Witness or something. And I'll tell you what, I, apart from the gospel, they're still going to hell. But there was still something that said, you care about God, even if they were way off. There was something that made me, even though they were, to want to talk with them about the God they said they followed. Worshiping, he is that great. You want to talk about it, okay? Growing individually and corporately with the growth that comes from God. You can't grow individually without growing corporately, and then it'll come from God. We just talked about that. Protect and defend the name of God. If you're like, well, that's wrong, but it's none of my business, stop the don't judge. We're all judging. We just don't all say it. We just don't all say it. You need to defend the name of God. Then you will defend the name of God's people. You will defend the name of God's instruments, his character, God's eternal purposes. Own the people in particular expression of the body of Christ where God has placed you. We already said that. Spread the glory of God. You spread the glory of God by showing what he did in your life, in their life, in somebody else's life, in the past, present, and what he promises for the future. As he transforms you, that you're to spread that. You tell others about the glory of God. Okay, and this is it. This is the last one. We've looked at public worship services, relationships, growth, culture, and now service. What would it look like? Intentionally, I looked at a couple passages, and we did the same thing here with service. We looked at Numbers 4, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, but now intentionally, not doing homework or saying, from what you know from scriptures, what we've been talking about, what do you think now will be, because we're trying to come up with the same assumptions here. I'm not doing it right, you're not doing it right, but if there's anything God working, I care about when you think you're following God and serving. What would that look like? if we do nothing else, what would it look like? What would it have to include? Where would the focus be if we were going to cultivate service? Service in the church, okay? When we talk about serving among the people of God, okay, what would that have to include if the roots were going to come from God? Okay? What do you think? It'll take us a little while to get to it. We're not going to hit a home run with all these, but let's just put some things on the board. This is a culmination of our last 3 weeks of talk here. Jim? Right. Yep.
I see a lot of cattle.
Yep.
Get branded. That means that cattle belong to the pond.
Okay. Okay. So then if we're going to talk about service, what we're saying is that that service has the stamp of God on it. Not, I serve God, and since I did it for him, therefore it's godly service. It's backwards. It's saying, whatever service I did, if it's going to have God's stamp, right? Kind of, remember, I mean, you help me, but I grew up thinking kosher pickles, right? Kosher pickles. And then you thought, wait, supposedly that was the rabbi saying they were kosher, right? No? Right. But I had no idea that that was anything to do with religion. Kosher, kosher, kosher. Okay? God determines, not you. It's branded with his name. We went through that in youth group. That's why it's a big deal when they did Aaron's sons, right? Whatever they did, don't speculate forever. But whatever they did was outside of what was prescribed. They were dead. Why? Because it didn't have the brand. And they were representing the brand. Don't worry about why they died then and why they didn't die now, all right? Just so we're branded, then you'll remember Jim. Branded, by God. His kind. Service. He has to put his stamp on it. That means, you know what that implies? You're coming before him to evaluate. You don't come and take it and say, this was my service, how dare you? That's where we're saying, if you're touchy with other people examining it, there's a good chance you're touchy with God. Most of us haven't had other people examine it. We have so many walls keeping other people from judging our service. Okay? And it needs to be judged according to God's word. They are not your final judge. But if you won't let others inspect it, even if they inspect it wrong, okay, they'll answer to God for whatever they're doing if their motives and other junk is there. But God needs to inspect it. Go ahead, service. Jonathan. Faithful. It's amazing. When people are in a funk, or many other things, people are focused on their own agenda, the bare minimum happens. All of a sudden, when something happens inside their life, you know, I was thinking what Dave said last week about that 1 Peter 4 passage. All he did is raise his hand and said, be there. When you're there and you care, then all of a sudden you see. You didn't have to have any tag. It's just like a table. Who's putting that away? That person. Who's talking to them? That you don't. Nothing has to be created. It comes along. He's saying. He said, "Faithful service." What'd you say? Company's growth. Yeah, yeah. A company's growing relationship. God. Okay? As I told you, I have the pegboard in my garage, and all the tools are there. I rarely touch a lot of them, but I know what's there, right? So you come to the right job, and you think, yay, I get to use this one, right? If we are instruments in the Redeemer's hands, instead of going, I'm not being used, it's like, just hang on. If you keep looking to God, you keep growing, there will be a place in there, and you go, well, I can't do that. You stop saying, I can't do that. What happens with that tool thing? You know, Lowe's or Home Depot is the fisherman's, you know, Cabela's, right? It has a million tools. Why? Because there's always one that works just a little better. But when you don't have the just a little better, what do? You take the five other tools and you make it work, right? If your heart is where it needs to be, you go, well, never tried this before. I don't think it'll work, but then you MacGyver it. You're like, well, I don't know. Let's see. It's not the best. I've never tried this before, but we're going to try this. That when you look to God, it puts you in the game. It puts you in the game. It will show. There will not be pew sitters with that. Is that you, Sandy? Go. Totally. Yeah. 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 Right. Right. And that's what I'm saying is when people say, well, you're always poking on the bad part of us, I don't think when you realize that high standard he's calling you to, that you could sit there and go, well, I passed that test. So my point isn't to beat us down by saying the negative, saying God's word is true because it's telling you, I caught you. You said you were doing service for me? No, I want it from your heart. And you go, and see, that. How else are we going to get dependence on God with this? You go, well, he's always telling me I'm bad. Remember I told you that, all right? You don't get into the Olympics by being told you're the best. You get a coach that you pay a ton of money to say, I think I can fix that, after everybody else has told you you're the best, right? Small town, small team, bigger team, coach, and finally you pay big bucks for somebody to go, it's still not right. You can do better. And at that point, what you're telling God is, this is good enough. And he goes, no, I change hearts. That's what we're talking about with roots here. Doing the will of God from the heart. That's why my point, she's right, being there. We can't even be there to even get that heart exposed. No, it's why we're putting our foot down heavy on those that aren't members and that the members won't hold themselves accountable. It isn't this church, these leaders. It's that God, without accountability, and you're not going to get pointed in these directions where you see how big the problem is. I'm going to read something from that book here in just a few moments with that. A couple more, Nicole, and then Sheldon. Yeah, could you assume, the purer, the healthier a church gets, the more the accountability will be like Christ. But you go, it's not. Well, you're not like Christ. That's bad. If you run to Christ with people judging you wrongly, and you're not right that they're always judging you wrongly, but sometimes you are, look at the Psalms. You are my defense. You are my rock. See, you can have communion then in a place where people are. Go read that. It's right in there. They're picking me apart. They're destroying my flesh. Even my closest ones are, you know, you see the psalmist do that, but you don't see him going, and that's why I can't follow you anymore. I have to be an undercover agent. You know, you don't see that. You see an open heart even when the, quote, accountability isn't right. God becomes, and then after it goes, I cried all night, blah, 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 all the hard stuff. Then he says, but you have delivered, and you are the rescue. See, it ends in praise. So either way, you win. Either way, you win. But so when you pull away and you go, well, they're all ripping me apart. Yeah, it's natural not to say, I like it. That's a masochist. On the other side, you're wasting an opportunity for growth because then you become your own defense. You become your own protection because you get a little sour on God because he didn't protect. On the other side, how do you know? When Joseph, remember, we just did that. He first sees his brothers. He turns around, weeps, right? And then he turns around, and you know what the next thing he did is? He took Simeon, right? Because he was going to prove their hearts. He bound him, put him in prison, said, get your brother or you're not getting any other food. So which was it? His heart was toward them as they recoiled. He was being used by God to test their change. So eventually they can even see something's changed. Still took 17 years. So willing to be seen in the process of, we'll just say it spiritually, sanctification. Remember I told you that potato chip chore that the youth group went on, right? That whole thing, took us upstairs and there was a whole room of glass, right? And what'd you see? The potato? See, if I was a potato, I wouldn't want to be seen because it dumped me out from the truck and then they ripped me apart, undressed me and peeled me. And blah. You watch every part of that all the way till it came out to the potato chip bag, went out the other end. You go, oh, that's potato chips. But we got to watch them. You need to be where you can be watched. If it's of God, it'll stand whether the people are right or wrong. Sheldon. Yes. You hear that? See, it's not, they won't use my gifts. They use this person instead of me. Da, 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 da. And we sit there and poke. Go ahead. Do it. Open yourself up for the accountability. Say, I'm there. Say, I'll do it. And I've told somebody recently, I said, the easiest part of your job will be the part you think you're gifted at. Like, I like to wash the dishes in the kitchen, right? I like to drag cords for the sound equipment, right? That's the easiest part of the job. The hardest part is everybody else's opinion of what you just did. If you can look at the face of God and keep going through that, you know what? People go, there is a trustworthy saint. Could you do this too? Could you do this too? Could you do that? You go, well, I can't do it all. But when you're in the fight, you realize it has to be done. And then you go, well, I got to figure out all the other priorities. Have you ever heard you want to get something done, give it to the busiest person? How about you want to get something done, you give it to the most yielded servant of God? Well, they're not God. No, they're not God. But they become an essential part of his work. Priscilla and Aquila. Paul. Why do I say that? Because everybody's like, well, I'm not Paul. Come on. You think that helps Paul if everybody goes, well, you got it, Paul. Count on you. You made it faithful. He's like, no, they've all deserted me. He goes, all right, that's just at one point. He had no problem including them in his team. They determined whether they continued or not, right? So part of healthy service will be faithful with I don't know, faithful with all, so more given. Okay? Careful with that, because if you're not careful, like he said, we look for the more on the award side, reward side. I get another day off. I get more recognition. Okay? No. More given. More stuff that, how did you do that? That's impossible. Nobody could balance that. If you're doing it, combining that with Sandy's and Nicole's, it might actually be service from God. Jonathan? I'll ask you one more time, but that one leads right into the first part I was going to read in here. I'm going to read a little more later, but all right, it's the only book I've ever seen that has two different colors in it. All right, so when it's blue, it means they thought it was important. They're telling you what's highlighted. Like I'm saying a good one right now. It's blue. Are you trying to build your own kingdom? And the beginning of every chapter, he has the bottom line is, each of our lives is shaped by the war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self. So it goes back to the Garden of Eden, okay? Ever since that fateful day when Satan was offering Eve something bigger and better, but really what he offered her was much less and infinitely smaller. Ever since that fateful day, human life and history has been shaped by kingdoms in conflict. The little kingdom of self wars with the big kingdom. The kingdom of this world wars with the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of man wars with the kingdom of God. This war goes on behind every human intention, decision, thought, word, desire, and deed. Everything everyone ever does is done in pursuit of the success of one of these kingdoms. This war is unceasing and inescapable because it is fought on the turf of each of our hearts. Created for big kingdom living, kingdom of God, sin twists our allegiance, causes us to be all too dedicated to the little kingdoms of our own making. We get blinded to the transcendent glories, transcendent above, above in every way, transcendent glories of the big kingdom, and actually believe that the little shadow glories of our own little kingdom are as good as it gets. If I had, if I was protected from, if they stopped, if I could only. We're convinced that the little shadow glories of our own kingdom are as good as it gets. The problem is that most of us don't think in kingdom terms. You know, you just rather thoughtlessly got up in the morning, go to work, get the kids ready for school, take the dog for a walk, or read the morning paper. You and I don't live with a ready sense of our intentions or allegiances. And this is precisely how we get ourselves into trouble. Without knowing it, we can reduce the promises of Scripture down to a hope that God's grace will ensure the success of our little kingdom. I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day. I made it through the day. Well, it must have been God. Thank you. Well, yeah, that's true. But that becomes where you focus on his glory. You say, well, isn't it about testimony? Yes, but your testimony fits in there with all the others. And if immediately it's not happening in your life and you feel distance from all the others and think there's, well, I don't know, they got it, well, I don't know, it's probably me being judged or I don't probably have it. Yet you're missing out on the big kingdom. If he works in their life, that meant that's your God. He's working. Okay? Instead, the promises of the Bible are an invitation to active participation in a bigger and better kingdom. Do you hear that? The promises are actually guiding and directing your work. Whatever Sheldon, you know, he and Jim did that Band of Brothers there for a while, all right? I think they read it, right? Were you reading it? Not just watching it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What they were getting out of it came not because people go, I'm going to make a hero moment. It came because they thought, there's no other way. We got to do this. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Well, I don't know. Is this what they told us to do? I don't know. But the goal was so locked in that it wasn't about, if we make it out alive, we're going to be statues all over the country. They're not thinking that. They got the goal focus, right? Here, the promises of the Bible are an invitation to active participation in a bigger and better kingdom, the kingdom of God. Now listen, and where do you pursue the interests of the big kingdom? In exactly the same place where you are tempted to pursue the little kingdom, right where you live and work each day. Where do you pursue the interests of the big kingdom? In exactly the same place where you are tempted to pursue the little kingdom. Right where you live and work each day. Right now, right where you are, in the situation that seems unbearable, you can live by the strength of God and be his servant for the big kingdom. Right there. Not there. Right here. Any other thing on this before I talk a little more and read? Service. It's okay if it's not. This is to get discussion in your own head, and we win when you have the discussion among yourselves. Service that comes in the root, if nothing else, will focus, will include, I think there needs to be, you did well. Is there anything else? No, that's Dave Rose making me ride 24 miles yesterday. I couldn't even sleep last night because every part of my body was saying that was wrong. Go ahead. Torn down to get built up. Torn down. And that's the flip side of my wisecrack there, of me showing off that big fat John David was riding yesterday. It's when you sit there thinking, pain, pain, you thought, yay, yay, if I could do it again, it might get better. Right? But it did mess with my sleep. It did mess with my, meaning comfort zone, that's the word for it's not going to fit. It's not going to feel right. Everything in you is going to be screaming, stop. We need to do something else. Is it you? Go.
Yeah, 24 miles. I thought it was supposed to be 30 or 35.
It was. It was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Full truth is how you spell joy.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Full truth is how you spell joy.
Yeah.
Most of you have heard it.
Yep.
Jesus, others,
yeah.
Service. You want joy? Get out of yourself, get out of myself, get out of my life, and recognize it's much larger, his kingdom, not mine. And so there. And then as I serve, there's reality
down.
In the old hymn. Here is joy.
It's broken down in order to build. So, like we said, just being there, just putting others. Now, you got to get Jesus, because otherwise you call the others Jesus, right? There's plenty of Christians, supposed Christians, meaning God knows. It's very important. It's that you don't get to decide if you're a Christian. He does. He needs to know your name. And that's not to scare you. It's to say it matters. Instead of you, when we get defensive, what you're saying is accept my definition of Christian. Instead of saying I need to be under the scrutiny of what God's saying, then you can know that you're His. The chapter I'm going to read, I think we're going to get time for it here, is going to talk about that, about when the little kingdom, I'm going to mess this up, masquerades as the big kingdom. Did I say that in the right order? The little kingdom masquerades as the big kingdom, okay? You think you're serving Jesus for Jesus. Keep studying Jesus. Keep looking to God. If you're bored looking to God and you just want to serve, then you don't have the Jesus part down. I'm only saying that because it's easy for us to go, I know. If I was really holy, I would do this with a smile for that jerk, not jerk, for that gem, and I would care for them, right? See, you sit there playing all these games with each other. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus did what? Bring us to God. God, holy. You think you're hard on yourself? He's harder on you. On the other side, we just did in 1 Timothy, God, our Savior. He's known for delivering, and all you can see is judgment. That's what we're saying. You're blind to the big kingdom. You're blind. You can't. You're an idiot if you're focused only on what you're doing wrong. Back to what Stan said, that's the only way to get to where you see yourself and where you see Him as glorious. You can't. Nobody can hold your hand through. It's going to be hard with that. It's going to rip you apart with that. On the other side is Jesus, others, and you. Was there fine? Sheldon? Those that were able to do it are able to head forward toward the mission or die doing the mission. Those that were able to do it. The other ones just get picked off one at a time with that. And that's what we were saying when we said worship God together. You look at that verse, Romans 15. May the God who grants encouragement, right, grant you to be of the same mind with one another. Why do you need encouragement? Because you're like, it ain't happening with this group. Go read Romans 14. You know, without all their arguing about conscience, they're arguing about the Jews and Gentiles, they're arguing, right? In Romans 12, it's telling you to give up your bodies a living sacrifice, and then it tells you to do it with people, and you just go, I'm done. There's no way this could be God. And then it says, so that through the perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, you might have hope. Don't you get it? What was written in the earlier time was written for your instruction. It wasn't until yesterday. You know, eternal God, that's today. This is who I am. This is what I do. Look at their examples. Get on to the mission. And see, wherever you are, wherever I am, we can hear the call of the kingdom and of the king. And that will knit us together. Levi the tax collector, Simon the zealot. There you are. It's God that holds that together. Stan? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right. Usually it's like, well, I ain't going to ask for help. And then we turn around and say, I really need help. I need a meal for tonight because I can't have time to cook. And then you say, well, that's stupid because people will pick that apart and they'll go, well, you think I can get a meal for you because I can't even get a meal for me. Why don't we start with a window to the soul? I'm overwhelmed. Why are you overwhelmed? See, and you go, I'm overwhelmed because I think I need a meal. I'm overwhelmed because I need my windows washed. I'm overwhelmed because I need somebody to watch my kid. I'm overwhelmed because, no. That's you determining what your need is. But if you start with overwhelmed, eventually, if that practical piece that you think you need is a part of God's solution, well, then that gets exposed and people can deal with it. We would rather, if we knew we weren't selfish, have somebody help with what we think is our real need than have somebody have a window to our soul. I'm bitter. When's the last time you admitted you're bitter? I'm envious. Not just trying to dump them out like saying I'm the worst of the worst, but just looking at yourself. You go from the things that God cares. I'm selfish. I'm small. I'm defensive. I'm overwhelmed. I'm guilty. Those are big kingdom terms. If you can associate there, somebody who cares for you is going to head you in the direction of those verses. Before you roll your eyes and go, they just told me three ways, you know, take these three verses and you'll get out of your guilt. Guilt's a lot deeper than that. Before you criticize whoever told you whatever and you feel like they're hurting you by giving you three verses, say, okay, if those are part of the solution, and I've thought of two of them already, I can't get there. Find a bridge between where I am and those verses. Can you help me build that bridge? As you deal with those soul issues, all of a sudden those other issues go, and they go, good night, their lawn is high. Would you allow me to mow your lawn? Because I was over here talking with you. Then you get the, oh, well, that's what I wanted anyway. But maybe you could actually be getting your soul dealt with, not your lawn mowed. You go, oh, this is crazy. All I need is a cup of cold water. Just take care of my kid or whatever it is. No, you need your soul at rest with God regardless. Because sometimes somebody will be there to do that. But you play the Band of Brothers, all of a sudden I just like a cup of hot chocolate and sit on a soft couch and watch my favorite show. That sounds stupid. It just doesn't fit. You can wish for it, but that's then, not now. That's what the Bible says will work till Jesus comes. Night is coming when no man can work. So you can wish for it, but that's there. You're wanting heaven here. I'm wanting heaven here. So windows to your soul will eventually end up. People, we're all too shallow. They'll say, oh, really, what they want is brownies on their birthday. Here's brownies for your birthday. People, we're all too shallow. We give them what they want because then we feel good and they feel good and you make me happy, I make you happy. But we're trying to say the brownies can come, but if we don't get to the soul, it ain't service from the right roots. Your soul needs to be able to be content in whatever circumstance. What do you got? Is that it? So what does this look like? Jeez. I read this chapter all right, let's try, okay? Let's try. It's kindergarten, day's almost over. Let's just have reading circle, okay? Chapter 6, what mask does your kingdom wear? The costume kingdom. The bottom line, the most dangerous thing about the kingdom of self is how easily it masquerades as the kingdom of God. It was always one of the most dramatic moments in this well-known secret agent drama. Although viewers didn't know it, one of the Mission Impossible agents had donned a latex mask that was meant to make him look familiar and safe to the enemy. The mask was so pliable and real-looking that it took on the appearance of actual human skin. At some crucial moment, the government agent would reach up and tear the skin off his face and reveal his true identity to the international bad guys who were about to be taken down. As a child, I loved watching those moments. I dreamed of growing up and being the latex mask agent. I imagine what it would be like to reach up and tear off my face to the surprise of the bad guys who were plotting evil. I imagine that much secret agent work was done in costume, and that most of our spies had a collection of the appropriate latex masks at their disposal. I really did want to be part of this government-sponsored costume kingdom, and I wanted to be the costume king. As a sinner, I am still seeking to be the king of a costume kingdom. You see, the problem with a little kingdom, the civilization of self, is that it dresses up and puts on the mask of the big kingdom, the kingdom of God. It puts on the mask of things that are righteous and good while it is capturing the heart for the glory of self. Blue. The most dangerous kinds of self-focus are those that take on the form of the good things of the kingdom of God. All right? Indian theologian Vinod, blah, 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 describes it this way. The good news is packaged and marketed using uncritically all the techniques of modern advertising. The good news is packaged as a religious product, offering peace of mind, how to get to heaven, health and prosperity, inner healing, the answer to all your problems, etc. What is promoted as faith in God often turns out to be means for obtaining emotional security or material blessing in this life and an insurance policy in the next. This kind of preaching leaves the status quo untouched. It does not raise fundamental and disturbing questions about the assumptions upon which people build their lives. It does not threaten the false gods in whose name the creation of God has been taken over. Indeed, it actually reinforces their hold on their worshipers. This kind of gospel is essentially escapist, the direct descendant of the pseudo-gospels of the false prophets of the Old Testament. It is simply a religious image of the secular consumerist culture in which modern men and women live. There are many warnings in the Bible about the costuming of the kingdom of self. Christ makes the warning in the Sermon on the Mount. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Inwardly. Paul writes to Christians in Corinth, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." 2 Corinthians 11. Philippians 1, Paul talks about people who even preach the gospel for their own selfish ends. In Galatians, Paul warns against a false gospel that wears the costume of a true gospel. Notice the strong language. "Astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion, trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." Then in just case this warning wasn't strong enough, he says, "Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned." Galatians 1, 6 to 8. Why is Paul so agitated? Because the kingdom of self is its most dangerous when it takes on the contours of the kingdom of God. It is quite possible, Blue, for you to be convinced that you are living for the transcendent glories of the kingdom of God when you are in fact living for yourself. Be warned, be scared. The little kingdom is a costume kingdom, and it is deviously promoted by a costume king, Satan himself. Little kingdom will quite regularly don the latex mask of outward participation in worship, obedience, and ministry. It will appear as though it is serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when daily it is bowing before the throne of self. Driven by earthbound treasures and anxiety-bound needs, he says that over and over in this book. The little kingdom is driven by earthbound treasures and anxiety-bound needs. Its worship can only be the worship of self. As Indian theologian says, "This kind of religion, whether in Christian or other forms, is idolatry. For at the heart of idolatry is the attempt to manipulate God or the unseen spiritual world in order to obtain security and well-being for oneself and one group, whether family, business, ethnic community, or nation state. Biblical faith, in contrast, is the radical abandonment of our whole being in grateful trust and love to the God disclosed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." Biblical faith is the radical abandonment of our whole being in grateful trust and love to the God disclosed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we become willing agents in a costly confrontation with every form of evil and unjust suffering in the world. This faith involves us in embracing the pain and confusion of others and in being willing to live with uncertainty ourselves while moving towards a future that is already at work among us. Three more sentences and I'll quit for today. It is very important to note that the most dangerous idols for all of us are those that are easily Christianized. Selfishness is its most dangerous when it masquerades as service. Self-focus is most powerful when it dons the costume of love. Earthly treasures are most seductive when they take on the appearance of spiritual need. Idols do their nastiest work when they wear the latex mask of God. Because the little kingdom is a costume kingdom, it presents a near and present danger to everyone who has committed himself to the kingdom of God. A couple more pages, and that'll be in a couple weeks. Lord Jesus, help us. If we only hear condemnation, we haven't looked far enough. A coach is to be demeaning to you, to call you an Olympic coach. But here we are so focused on being the best us, and we run away from the one who is the best. Father, show us our hearts so that we will stop trying to reinvent ways to be associated with you that are not the true way for fellowship. You are the great one. And it will be a battle for the rest of our days. But the worst thing is if we don't even realize what we're supposed to be battling. Would you show us glimpses of ourselves, well, doses of ourself and glimpses of who you are, so that even in our brokenness and our unbelief and disobedience, you are calling us to yourself. And the God that we are obeying is the God who is living and who is and has eternal care for our souls. Work that in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.